Today we're starting part two of our Exceed series, and we're going to talk about a hard soil. Last week, for many of you who were not here, or for those of you who this information was new to, I want to repeat, Jesus said a parable. He said there was a farmer, and he went out to sow seed, plant seed. And some seed fell on a footpath, and birds came and ate it. The birds came and ate it, okay? And so nothing was, no fruit was produced. The second soil was a shallow, rocky soil, and the seed fell on that soil, and it grew quickly. And then the sun came and scorched it because it had no root, because it had no depth. It was a shallow soil. The third soil was the thorns. A seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns choked that seed, and there was no fruit. And then a fourth seed fell upon a good, tilled up, fertile soil, and it produced 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times what was sown. Now, to some of you who've been in church for a long time, this parable, this story is almost like, yeah, I know. And so you're wondering, Pastor, how are we going to talk about this story for like 8 weeks? Well, because this story is so packed, it's so full of information that it will blow your mind by the time you understand this parable. Jesus said this to his disciples. He says this, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand all the other parables that he spoke about. So you want to understand the words of Jesus? You have to understand this parable. This parable could be studied by philosophers. This parable could be studied by scientists and brain scientists. And this parable is studied by theologians. That's how loaded it is. Jesus loved to speak in parables, and this was his key parable. You want to understand how your mind works? You got to pay attention to this parable. So, later Jesus comes back, and Matthew chapter 13 verse 19, let's put the chapter 13 verse 19, he explains this parable. And he says this, the seed that fell on a footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So let's quickly decipher this parable. The soil is human heart. How many of you have ever said, I have a good heart? What are you talking about? Are you talking that your organ works good? No, we all have a good heart. And in that case, young church here, mostly, right? We're not talking about your organ. We're talking about your mind. We're talking about something deeper, something about who you are on the inside of you. And most of us, we would say we have a good heart. However, Bible disagrees. In the Bible, it says the heart is wicked and evil above all things, and who shall know it? Now, let me just explain. So in this parable, Jesus says that the soil is your heart. The seed is information. It could be good information or it could be bad information, right? The Word of God plants good seeds into our heart. The world plants bad seeds into our heart. Right? Remember a second parable we're going to talk about seeds. It says that a farmer planted his field, and at night the evil one came and planted tares. So God has an ability to spread information. So does the Satan. Satan wants to plant his information. If you guys, some of you don't think that information is so powerful, but Jesus says information is like a seed. It's so powerful that if it's planted in a fertile soil of your heart, it will grow and produce something. Okay? Information can produce good harvest, or information can produce evil harvest. So when somebody says you're stupid, and they keep saying it, and you open your heart to that, you know that the reason that bad, we were supposed to have a hard heart towards negative thinking, negative words. So when somebody says to me, you're stupid, I say, oop, my heart is hard towards that. You can't plant a seed into a concrete. Right? But the problem is that eventually we begin to believe it. If somebody keeps sowing that seed, bad seed, into our heart, it's like taking a sledgehammer and breaking that concrete. Eventually it's going to crack. And have you ever seen a plant grow through a concrete crack? So you can plant seeds, it's an exception, on even hard soil, because there's always a crack. There's always an exception. But we don't live in an exception. God wants us to live and be a good soil. Okay. So your mind is the soil. It's the ground. It's the field. The seed is information. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. What is that? God is information. God is actually fullness of all information. You can't add to more information. You can't tell something God doesn't know, and you can't subtract something from God. He's fullness. So philosophers in Greek mythology said that God is like a big brain. Okay? And so, and it is true. God has full knowledge. Fullness of knowledge. You get this now. So now, when I say I have a good heart, is that really true? When you say you have a good heart, is that really true? Well, let me explain. Yes and no. Okay? There's some area of your heart that's areas in your heart that is good, and there are some areas in your heart that is not so good. For example, imagine a farmer, he has 10 acres. Okay? He tilts up the 10 acres of land, and then he says, I don't want to plant corn, all of it. I'm going to plant different type of vegetable. So corn, beets, potatoes, hot dogs, right? No, you gotta have hot dogs. Wheat, carrots, onions. So he divides it into tens and plants different. Your mind is like that. Your mind is just not one area. There's different parcels, different acreages inside of that one big field. Your mind is a field. If you look at your brain scientifically, you'll realize that it has branches. And the thoughts that you entertain grow, and the thoughts that you forget die and come out as hot air. Dr. Caroline Leaf, who's a brain scientist, and I will bring her study next week, probably a few weeks to come, she will explain to us how thoughts work. When an information, she says, enters your mind, but it doesn't find good soil in your mind. When you reject information, in 2 days, it comes out. Within 2 days, it comes out as hot air. Literally, it goes through one ear and comes out the other. Scientifically, it's a fact. A thought that doesn't take root dies and just disappears. Okay, so that's the hard soil. Hard soil fell on that soil. You either didn't understand it. Bible says he didn't understand it or didn't want to understand. And within 2 days, that's why when we study for exam, we cramp it up. And then in 2 days, it's forgotten. It's forgotten. Soil wasn't right. Maybe it was just shallow, but it doesn't last long. It doesn't last long. So what makes a soil last long? It's meditation, and we'll talk about that. But your brain has multiple areas. Watch this. You can be very relational. So that's relational part of your brain. The acreage designated for relationship in your mind. Not brain, mind. Or your heart. You can be very relational. And yet, your financial parcel is hard soil. Relationally, you are soft, broke up soil. That's why sometimes you look at one area of your life and you go, yes, Jesus, praise the Lord. And then God shows you another area and you're like,
I'm going to hell.
Right? Why does that happen? Because God reveals to you different areas. You're not just like one clumped up thing. There's many different areas. There is a spiritual parcel in your heart. People could be spiritual, but not very relational. There is a parcel for being a father. You could be, your financial parcel is great. It's tilled up. No matter what you throw in there, it produces money. Some of you are like that. You can't help yourself. You just make money. You're good with money. Not a lot of amens right now. Because you don't think you are, but you are. And some of you are, you can save money. You have a good fertile soil. If something were to happen, you got a secret stash somewhere. Stash. Financial. You're good. So financial parcel of your mind is tilled up. But maybe the relational is like hard rock. And you wonder, God, why am I relationally so good? And financially, always in trouble. Okay? Because one area of your heart is good, but the other one, maybe not so good. Unbelievers and believers can have a good heart in some areas. Jesus is not just talking to believers. I think Jesus, I'm going to ask him when I get to heaven, but I think he was trying to explain human mind to us and how it works. And he says, if you don't understand how you were created to work, you're not going to get all my stuff. That's why you can quote 1,000 scriptures about how blessed you are. Seed. But the heart is mean and ugly and hard. And guess what happens? You cannot plant seed in the concrete. Now there is exception, because some of you are like, exceptions, of course, there's always cracks in the concrete. Right? So we wonder sometimes, God, why do I claim the scriptures? Why do I speak the word of God, but nothing happens? Is there something wrong with the information? No. The word of God is perfect. It's not his problem. All the seed was good. Bad seed was not thrown on a hard soil. All Jesus sows liberally to all four soils. You know what soil you are today. And so what God wants us to understand is that it's not just the seed, it's also the soil. It's not just the seed. So information without you applying that information is like seeds falling on concrete. Guess what happens? The birds come. The birds. What is my beard? Okay, the birds come and they eat that seed. And by Tuesday, you don't remember what I said. And then you come Sunday again. You're like, yeah, Pastor. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was good. Right. So your mind, your heart. So we have some good areas in our heart and we have some not so good areas in our heart. Right. We usually show people the good areas of our heart. Right. Relationally. We show usually our family all the areas of our heart. I'm like, well, honey, if you can know everything about me and still love me, oh, you're a keeper. Right? Because our family gets to see the good, the bad, and the ugly areas of our heart. Now, we can't make an excuse and say, well, I have a good area. I'm going to just show that and promote that and live with my mind in that area. But these rest of them, I'm going to forget. No, God wants to make you whole. There is a scripture that it's wholeness. It's about spirit, soul, and body all together working for the glory of God. All areas of your life. And you know what? About a month ago, we went on vacation and we had a family reunion. And if you really want to know what your heart is like, you got to go to a family reunion. You'll really know who you are, right? So we go to family reunion. I should have read a book on family reunions, because, you know, I just thought it was going to be great, you know, family reunion, you know, six brothers. I have six brothers, seven of us brothers, mom and dad. And then they brought their mother-in-laws and father-in-laws. And anyway, and so I realized that, and I came there, and I'm in a, spiritually speaking, in the area of my life where I felt like God is just blessing everything I do. My preaching has been good. I've been relaxed. I've been spiritually good. I've been praying. I've been reading my word. I've been, you know, in a good place. And then God puts me in a place where I got rattled a little bit in my heart. My heart got rattled a little bit, and I thought thoughts that I shouldn't have thought. And I wanted to say words that I shouldn't have thought about saying. And later I realized, God changed my heart. I cried out. I felt like I was going to lose my salvation or something. And it's not because I said something bad. On the outside, you wouldn't see it. Because it was the heart issue. But what happens in the heart eventually comes out. Right? So I realize how much I need a new heart, how much I need God to make my hard heart soft and gentle and kind. And whatever area you are facing right now, and there's kind of stress in your life, and there's kind of a little bit disorder in your life, that's probably the area that God is trying to soften up. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So we're talking about the heart. Now, verse 19, let's put it on the screen again. Before I read that, Jesus talked in parables. There is 51 different parables recorded in the Gospels, okay? So Jesus said a lot of parables. What are the Gospels? Some of you are new to the Christianity. The Gospels are first four books of the New Testament. What is New Testament? Well, when you open your Bible, if you're a new believer, don't open it to the beginning of the Bible. Genesis and Exodus might be fun, but you're not ready for that yet. Okay? Open to the New Testament. That's like almost the kind of a third of the Bible. Open to the New Testament. And when you open to the New Testament, you'll find books like this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? No. Just so you can remember it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not look at John. Luke and John. Okay? So there's four first. So if you want to know what to read, if you're a new believer, you never opened the Bible yet, you opened to Leviticus and you thought you're going to lose your faith, you know? Don't open to Leviticus. Open to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those. Now, these guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they write about the same thing. They write about the ministry time of Jesus. Okay? And all three of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, write this parable that we're studying, seed and the sower. John does not mention him, but Matthew, Mark, Luke does. There's 51 parables. What is a parable? Parable is an illustration, a story that is designated to teach a lesson for the purpose to change somebody's life. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay? So that's what parable is. And Jesus spoke in parables. I think a lot of us would not understand what Jesus preached. Because it was all stories, like about farmers, about fishing, about fig trees, about losing coins. That's what Jesus talked about. He talked in parables. And he says, in order to understand my message, it's not plain. You have to dig in. You want to understand Jesus, you want to understand how the kingdom of God works, and even how your mind works, you got to dig in. Why did God do that? So those who are not interested wouldn't just steal the principles and live by them without knowing God and be damned to hell. Ooh, I said hell. Why did he do it? So those who doesn't understand would take the principles, live good off them, which the world already does. The world is already pulling good stuff out of the Bible, rejecting the God of the Bible, rejecting the Spirit of God who wrote that Bible, right? There's a lot of scriptures spoken by atheists. There's a lot of scriptures spoken by agnostics who maybe believe there's something, but they don't believe in the God of the Bible, but they read the Bible and they say, don't commit adultery. They say, yeah, that's good. I don't like nobody to commit adultery on me. I don't want to be cheated on, right? So yeah, I'm going to use that. But I'm going to reject the God who wrote that. Love your neighbor as yourself is like the most popular. Yeah, but that's Jesus' words. So we're going to use that, but taking care of the poor, that's Jesus. Well, but I'm going to take that idea, but I'm going to reject Jesus. Jesus comes with the Bible, or Jesus doesn't come at all. All right? So where are we going with this? Yeah. Okay. So verse 19. The person, listen to this. The seed that fell, information that fell upon the hard heart, is the people who hear the word but don't understand it. That's why at New Life we try to make it understandable. Have you noticed you understand? My kids come and they say, they're 10 and 11 and 12 years old, and they're like, Dad, I got it. I can understand what you're saying. I'm so glad that God gave me that gift to make it simple. Because sometimes you go to these places, and we've been to some of these conferences, Pastor Andre, right? Where you've slowly fallen asleep, you realize you're snoring already, and your eyes are open, and you're like, you know, have you ever been there? I hope not in this church. I'm gonna come get you if you sleep in my services. Okay, but in some places I've been, you know, it's so deep, it's such big words that regular people just don't get it. And so yes, it falls upon a preacher. You better know what you're talking about. Albert Einstein said, if you can't explain it to a 7-year-old, you don't understand it yourself. So a lot of times we just talk big theories, we think out loud, but it hasn't been thought through. And that's not how you bring the gospel. You got to make it clear and easy to understand. Paul says, I have so much knowledge, but to you, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you're like, Paul, why? Can you tell us about the deep depth of wisdom and knowledge of God, the unsearchable ways of God? Can you please, please, please tell us? No. To you, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Did you guys know that Jesus Christ was crucified for you? Did you guys know that Jesus Christ was crucified for you? How simple is that? Now, he writes deep things like Romans. It's like, whoa, you know. But when he preached, simple. And Paul says, actually, to simple, I preach in simple. To the educated, I preach in educated way. Right? Paul said that actually. But he said, to you, my message was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Meaning simple. Right. Can you believe that that message has the power to change a life? Yes. Because it's not just information. There's a spirit behind that information. There's always a spirit behind information. News on TV, they have an agenda behind what they say. Politicians, no matter who they are, I don't care, they have an agenda about what they say. Have you noticed politicians have a way of telling you one thing when they're running, but they never meant to do what they said? Why? The spirit was different behind it. With Christ's information comes Christ's spirit, so you don't have to doubt it. That Christ is, the Bible says, he who prays in the spirit is not going to curse Jesus. Oh, too deep. Sorry. All right, let's keep going. So why doesn't a person understand? Okay, because that's why a hard heart does not understand. Number one, message is not clear. I hear from so many people who say to me, I grew up in a Christian home, but I've never heard what you said. I mean, practically every Sunday I hear this message. Pastor, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church all my life. I never heard this. Why? Didn't understand. Maybe you grew up in a religious home. Right. Meaning you heard the words, but there was no spirit behind it. It's like somebody says, girls, I love you. And there's spirit behind it. Like there's a feeling behind it. There's a, you feel it. But somebody said, I love you. That was an evil laugh, right? You know the difference. Ladies, do you know the difference? When a guy says, I love you, just to... And a guy says, I really love you. I want to marry you. I want to be with you all my life. I can't live without you. You can tell the difference. Same with that. You grew up in a religious home. You heard it. But there was no spirit behind it. And so it fell on a hard concrete highway. And the birds came and ate it. What's the bird? Satan. Satan came and stole it. 2 days, maybe, it held in your mind. And after 2 days, the information was gone. Guys, it would be such a sad thing to come to church, hear the truth of God, preached in the Spirit of God, and never be changed by it. Information that does not fall on a good soil. What is good soil? Your heart cannot produce good fruit. And that's why people can be Christians for 10 years and be mean as a hornet. And that's why they can stab you in the back. Sometimes working in business with a Christian is like, if I see a fish on a truck, I'll probably run the other way. Right. Why? Because it's the ones that don't wear it on a sleeve that I trust more than those who always, oh, I'm a Christian. Look at my cross. Look at my fish. You can give me a job now. I've been burned too many times. Right. Yeah. You don't have to show it when you are who... You just be yourself. When you're acting it, then I'm like, ugh. Right? And you know this is true. I'm not just saying that it's me. It's you. You know instinctively that it's true. Somewhere deep inside. So he doesn't understand it. Maybe you went to a church that didn't explain it. And it was just a lot of words. And so that cannot produce. Or number two, you were not interested in it. You were not interested. So the word of God is preached. You're not interested. You're like, I don't want to hear it. Actually, Bible says you suppress. Romans 1:18, guys, if you could put that scripture. I know I'm going kind of out of order. And there, yeah. Let's read this. But God is showing his anger. God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Sometimes... The reason we don't obey God or we reject God, we say God doesn't exist, not because we know he doesn't exist, but because we know that by believing in him, I have to do what he says, and I don't want to do what he says. Yeah. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to suppress the truth. I'm going to make it up. I'm going to say I'm an atheist. I don't believe it. And then to make myself feel better, I'm going to attack Christians. And I'm going to intellectually confuse them even more. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're the smartest, right? Or you know your Bible. You could be a month old Christian. But here it says, they suppress the truth by their wickedness. Next verse. They know the truth about God because God has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. You can see it in the nature. You can intuitively see God. Next. Yes, they know God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish idea what God was like. We live in a culture who will tell you, I believe God is like this. Yeah. What the Bible says. Well, I don't know. I don't believe what the Bible says about God. So I don't believe what God says about himself. I believe God works like this. I believe God's standard is this. I believe God is this. I believe it's all love. Trust me, God is not all love. God is love, but there's more qualities to God. He's a just judge as well. He's a consuming fire as well. No sin can be in his presence. He's perfect. So you can't separate one character of God from another. It's like a father. My father is a loving father, and that's all I know, but he could spank you too. Right? Because there's not just one quality in God. So the world is thinking up ways to make God different. Because the world likes to pull out things from the Bible out of context and then build their theology on it, making it fit to what they want to do. As a result, their minds become dark, or their minds became hard. That's another word. You see that? As a result, how does the mind get hard? Right there. You know that truth, but you suppress it and you reject it and you try to make God who He is not. There, as a result, their minds become dark and confused. Is there one more verse there? Yeah, let's keep going. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. By rejecting God, Bible calls that being a fool. A fool said in his heart, there's no God. Now, is that too much? It's summer. It's okay. In the fall, we'll milk it down a little bit. But right now, we gotta go. Yeah. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Let's stop there. Thank you. So you see, some people don't understand because nobody explained it to them clearly. Others don't want to understand. They chose to reject what they understand. I heard a survey from a famous preacher, so it has to be correct. He said that 70% of people who reject God, Christ, cannot explain to you what does it mean to be a Christian. 70% of people who reject Jesus and salvation don't really know what it even is. So what is our job, believers? Our job is to explain it simply. I have a 5-point gospel explanation. What is it? You guys got to know it by now. 1, God created people. 2, people messed up. 3, God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. 4, why did He do that? Because He loved us. 5, what do we have to do? Believe in Him. Respond. Believe in Him. That's it. See, 70% of people who don't believe don't understand that. They just don't get that. That's why the seed falls on a hard ground. I know sometimes preachers, we want to say, oh, I sowed a seed into it. But based on the scripture, the birds eat it. So your seed didn't do anything because the ground was bad. And so guys, there's people, there's different soils of people. There is hard, trampled soil. There is rocky, shallow soil. There's thorny, choking type of soil. And there's good soil. Now, do we go looking for good soil? And how can we see? We can't. So what do? We spread the seed everywhere. So should I invite only people who are kind of interested in God and Christ? No. You invite everybody. You tell them, hey, do you know Jesus? Actually, when somebody asks you, how are you? Use that as an opportunity for a testimony. Watch this. Ask me, how are you? I've been great. I've been going to church. God has been changing my life. Oh my goodness, I'm different. Hey, you should come check it out. Ask me, how are you? Good. I've gave my life to Christ. I can't believe it. I'm totally getting it. I'm understanding. God has been doing miracles in my life. God is working in my life. Hey, you want to come check out my church? Hey, come on. You see how easy? Evangelism is so easy. But how do you know? What if the person doesn't want to? Well, if their heart's soiled, the birds are going to come. But what if they're shallow soil? They might come to church for a couple of weeks. But what if they're good soil? They're going to stick around and be here even in the summertime on Father's Day. Woo! Few clappers. Thank you so much. All right. So, a hardened heart dulls person's ability to perceive and understand. It is equivalent to spiritual retardation. Spiritually, just dead. Can a believer have a hard heart? Yes, of course. A believer could be moral and cold at the same time. A believer could be moral and have a hard heart. I'll prove it to you by the Bible. Okay, watch this. Joseph is very moral, right? God gives him a dream, and he goes bragging to his brothers. Hey, brothers, you know who I'm going to be? I'm going to be famous televangelist, and you're going to be my servants. Right? Kind of like that. He says, I'm going to be a king someday, and you're going to, and this little punk, right, kept going to his older brothers and bragging in front of them how big he's going to be and how all his brothers and sisters and his parents are going to bow down and worship him. Right? So God had to do some work on him. So what God does, he takes him through a tilling process, through breaking the hard heart process. Just because you have a hard heart doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for your life. That means he's going to break it more than others. If God has a purpose for your life and you have a hard heart in that area, get ready. It's going to be a hammer. Or it's going to be a sledgehammer. Oh, he's gonna break the hard soil. If he loves you, he will discipline you. God's discipline is not plan A for you. God's discipline is plan B. But if you don't do plan A, God will do plan B. And so Joseph has to go through Potiphar's house. And God has to break him down there. Humble him. And how do I know Joseph is moral? Because in Potiphar's house, there's Potiphar's wife, and she's hot, and she keeps, you know, rubbing against Joseph through those thin corridors. And eventually she says, sleep with me. And here's how moral Joseph was. He says, no. She's like, don't you understand? I can make your life better. He's like, how can I sin against God? And how can I sin against your husband who entrusted this whole house to me? And so she screams rape, and her husband instead of killing him, Joseph, puts him in prison. And in prison for 7 more years, Joseph is there for doing nothing. And God breaks him down. So later, when he becomes a prince of Egypt, and he did, the promise of God came true. His brothers did bow down and worship him. But Joseph wasn't vengeful. He came and hugged and cried. Have you noticed Joseph wept for a long time when he finally revealed himself? He went and wept in secret first. Read the story. How do you know you have a hard heart? You can't cry. Right? The things should make you cry, they don't make you cry. Hard heart. And so he goes and hugs them, and it shows the picture of what God has done in his heart. So you can be religious and you can be a jerk. You can be very moral, but a piece of... Have you ever seen those guys? And we've been there too. So we make a bad name for ourselves when we are moral, but we're crappy people. Right. And God says, no. God is after changing your heart. In Ezekiel, let's put Ezekiel. Where is that scripture? 36:26 says this, and I will give you a new heart. God is after your heart now. He's not about how you act on Sunday in church and how good you raise your hand or clap for your pastor. God is after your heart, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out a heart, your stony, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart. That's what God is after. He's not after your behavior. He's after your heart, because if he can change your heart, your heart will change your behavior. Hallelujah. So can a believer have a hard heart? Yes. I know I've had a hard heart in many areas of my life. And I say to God, God, I want to be whole. And our prayer, your prayer should be, God, I want to be whole in all areas of my life. I want to be whole in a financial area of my life, in relational. I want to be whole as a father. I want to be a good father. My heart towards my children. You know, Bible says the last verse of the Old Testament, it says if the Spirit of God does not turn the hearts of the father towards the children, towards the sons, God says, I will come and curse their land. So result is a curse. A hard heart is a curse. God is after changing your heart. He didn't just save you to leave you. He saved you to change you and give you life to the fullest. It's such a good feeling to see a person when you were a child and he was like cool. You know, one of those cool people who always talk bad about other people because they're so cool. And then you don't like them. They're bullies. And then you see them many 10 years, 20 years later, and they're changed by God. And you're like, what happened to you? What happened to you? And the answer is, Spirit of God tilled up my heart. I had to go through some things. I had to go through some things. Praise God. What are the symptoms? Are you able to receive anymore? Because if you're not, we're going to pray. Okay. No. That's it. I can see it. You know, you can see when a church is like receiving. They're like baby chickens. Or baby birds, right? The birds. You got to say it right. The birds. You can go ahead and play. And then when people are close, it's like, oh. Anyway, I think you guys had enough today. God wants you to change your heart. Let me just share with you, how do you know you have a hard heart? Because I'm going to finish it next week. When you see things that should make you sad or cry and you don't care, you have a hard heart. Last week, we had a horrible tragedy in Orlando, Florida. A gay bar was attacked by a Muslim person, and he shot and killed 50 plus people and like 100 wounded. I mean, terrible thing. Horrible thing. And some Christians came out and said, good, less of those. If you're one of those, or you don't care, you have a hard heart. Pastor, but they breaking God's law. Well, what did Jesus say? Should Christians pray? But these guys hate us. I've heard that, right? They call us homophobes, right? Christians get called homophobes, and we call them other names. So we're not without excuse either. There's both blame to go around both ways. But Pastor, they hate us. Some of them do. Unjustly, maybe, yeah. Because many of you, I know in this church, you love people. You might disagree with the lifestyle choice, but you love people. And so when somebody calls you a homophobe or a hater, it kind of is offensive. So you kind of like, you know, when somebody calls you a hater, you're like, you're gonna obviously distance yourself. But Christians call people names. Come on. We're not without excuse. We're not guiltless. How do you know you have a hard heart? Because when 50 people died and 100 people get wounded and thousands of lives are impacted, you say, I don't care. Well, Pastor, what does Jesus say? Does Jesus want us to pray for those people? They're our enemies. And the answer is yes. You want to know where? Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemy and pray for your enemy. So for example, if they're your enemy, you're not without excuse. You're still to pray for them. So when a tragedy happens for your enemy, Jesus says, pray for your enemy. He says, love your enemy. He says, you want to be like the perfect children of God? You want to be like God? He sends rain upon good and upon evil. He doesn't care if you're gay or not to give you rain or food. He loves you. Because why? When you love those who love you, what good is that? You're just acting selfishly. See, Jesus is not about you loving just those who you love you. He's about you having a full heart of love. And heart of love cannot celebrate when something happens to all people who are like us, and cannot hate, because heart of love cannot distinguish. Ooh, controversial over here. Why would he tell us that? Because he's after your fullness of heart. He wants your heart. You can't say, I can be good here with my heart, but not good here with my heart. I can be nice to these people and love these people because they're like me, but I don't love these people. If you don't love people who are different than you and don't pray for them, you don't have a good heart. You don't have a good heart. And Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you, for those who hate you. Love your enemies. If you can call those people or that community our enemy, I don't think they're our enemy, but pray even for your enemy. What is he after? God is after not just one area of your heart. Oh, I love my friends. I'm a nice person. But I'm a racist because these people are different than me, right? You don't know the heart of God. You don't know the heart of God. And I see on Facebook hateful Christians writing things, and I'm just like, God, speak to them. Show them that you love everybody. You give rain to those you agree with, and you send rain on those you don't agree with. Now, there will be a judgment day, but you're not going to be the judge. You're not going to be a judge. You think you're so good and God is going to appoint you to be a judge of those sinners. No. You're never going to be a judge. God is the judge. And we don't have to agree, but we have to pray and bless and love. You don't have to agree, but you pray, bless, and love. You don't have to agree with Trump. Oh, hold on. Or Trumpers, those people who for Trump, but you have to love. You don't have to agree with Bernie. You don't have to feel the burn. You don't have to agree with Hillary, but guess what? You have to love and pray and bless. Why? That's how you know your heart is good, when you begin to pray and bless and love your enemies. Amen. Wow. And I think church should be an example. You know, we have Democrats here, right? We have Bernie supporters. We have Hillary supporters. You know, we have Trumpers. We have it all. We have it all. And guess what? I might not agree with you, but I choose to love you and pray for you and bless you and want good for you and want you to prosper and be whole. My politics does not go above my love for you. Actually, I'm more of a kingdom. Politically, I'm a kingdom. You know, my political party is Kingdom of God. And that trumps Trump and Bernie and Hillary. I'm a Christian first. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I belong to Christ's party first. My citizenship is in heaven. Amen. I'm an ambassador here. So I represent heaven and I represent heaven's laws. And I try to understand them by studying this parable. And then I can choose a president, an election. But first, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian first. I'm a follower of Christ first. Were you guys blessed by this message?